Okay, we're going to do it right. I'm going to...
You take my seat.
Now it might overlap, so we'll see what we can do. Good evening to everybody. The topic of tonight's show, of course, is the origins and source and development of the Haggadah, which is a fascinating story. And Amir Tashem, tonight I have a number of suggestions, possibilities. Again, this is really an endless topic, as we discussed when it came to the Siddur as well. The first item of importance of note, and this we mentioned last week, and I'll begin where we left off and to some extent where we began, is that certainly the mitzvah of Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the mitzvah that we are fulfilling, Re'al HaSeder, Midi Raisa, as the pasuk says in Parashat Bo, the Gadat HaLevincha B'Yomahu Lemor, that we are charged and we are responsible to transmit the story of the Exodus out of Egypt to our children. That is a mitzvah that was taking place from the time that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. From the moment that God commanded us in that mitzvah, and that means that Jews throughout the ages, from the time the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, were telling their children how and what things looked like and how exactly we left Egypt. The only difference between that time period and contemporarily and everything thousands of years in between is certainly the fact that there was no exact text. That means when the story was being transmitted from father to son, from mother to daughter, from parents to children, from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim until, you will see in a matter of moments, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, everybody had their own way, their own educational tools as to how they would be able to specifically recount and retell the entire Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which is the body of 120 men who sat and created numerous takanos and zeros, most prominently, as we discussed in the series on the Siddur, they are responsible for establishing the Siddur, for making the Siddur. The same thing is true when it comes to the Haggadah. The Nusach HaHaggadah, or the skeleton of the Haggadah that we have today, certainly began and was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Gemara says in Sech Megill and Daki Gimel that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were mistaken brachos and tefillah. They established blessings and tefillah. Now, although it doesn't say the word Haggadah specifically, you should be aware that Haggadah is only a later word that was developed. Nowhere is there a holy word called the Haggadah. That's a later word that was developed. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah certainly created the skeleton, similar to the fact that they created the skeleton of the Siddur and Brachos, they also created the skeleton of the Haggadah. The first, the earliest member of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was Ezra Sofer. The latest member of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was Shimon HaTzadik. So we're talking about somewhat 300, 350 years, primarily between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and basically it concluded with the beginning of the Zman HaMishnah. So we're talking about a serious amount of time, and we're talking before the year 200 CE, primarily, is when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were established and when they were working. So certainly the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, if we were to tell somebody who actually wrote the Haggadah, is very much responsible to say the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were indeed responsible for establishing the Haggadah. Let's point out, and it's very clear, that there are numerous parts of the Haggadah, and we touched on this last week, that we can point our fingers to and pin who exactly is responsible for writing different pieces of the Haggadah. There are very few parts of the Haggadah that are unique only to the Haggadah and cannot be found anywhere else in the works of the Tanaim and Amoraim. That means the rabbis of the Mishnah, the rabbis of the Gemara. For example, just to go through some of the more famous statements in the Haggadah so you have a sense of where things are coming from, the opening part of Magid, which is the Halach Ma'anya, which is very, very questionable and many different suggestions amongst Rabbanim and scholars, historians as to the origin of the Halach Ma'anya. Many and the popular suggestion is that it was written sometime during the Korban. The fact that it's written Aramaic as opposed to the rest of Haggadah, which is listed and written in Hebrew, would seem to indicate that it was written in the time of the Korban, in the time that the Jews were in Babel. Certainly, the fact that the piece of the Halach Ma'anya says, Hashtahacha, L'shana Haba, Ba'arad Yisrael, L'shana Ba, B'nei Chorin, would seem to indicate that this is post the Korban. Who actually wrote it? So it's not listed, it's not a fact, it's not an item, it's not a text that can be found in the Gemara, it's not a text that can be found in the Midrashim. The suggestion that Bali Tosfos has, and that Tosfos has in Sechem, Daf Kuf says Vav, is that authored by one of the famous Bali Tosfos, Rav Yosef Tzuv Elam. Rav Yosef Tzuv Elam is actually quoted very, very heavily in Mesechet Avit Sechem. Tzuv Elam was one of the Bali HaTosfos. And their indication from the Yotzer for Shabbos HaGadol, the Yotzer for Shabbos HaGadol, which many of us don't recite, if you look in there, there's a hint and there's a discussion there about Halach Ma'anya, and it would be indicative that one of the Bali HaTosfos, the Yotzer Tzuv Elam, is actually the author of the Halach Ma'anya, which is much later, after the Gaonim, and the times of the Rishon, so it's a much, much later edition. We also mentioned that the two most famous pieces in the Haggadah that most of us are familiar with, the Manashtana, and the response to the Manashtana of Avadim Hayinu, Lepar B'Mitzrayim, is a Talmudic text, right? The Manashtana is in the Mishnah, rather, and Avadim Hayinu is a text that's found in the Gemara. So we're talking about the Mishnah, and we're talking about the Gemara, and those have been transplanted from the Mishnah and from the Gemara to the text of the Gemara. The story of Rabbi Eliezer, the students who are up all night in Bnei Brak, that is not found anywhere else. So if you're looking for a text, Tanaitic Amorai, the only place you're going to find that story is in the Haggadah. One of the only things that you'll find that cannot be paralleled in any other area. That means that it was not taken from the Mishnah, the Gemara, from the Drashim, but it's only something that's found in the actual Haggadah itself, which is going to be indicative shortly of actually certainly who is the author of the, or who compiled, rather, the Haggadah. The story of Rabbi Elazar, Harinu Kiben Shivim Shana, Velozachisi Shetamri Tias and Sam Balelos, that's a Mishnah in the end of the first chapter of Mesechus Brachos. So again, we're quoting so far numerous Mishnayot. The Keneged Arba Banim Devar Torah, Echad Chan, Echad Tan, Echad Shenu D'Ashol, can be found in two places. It can be found in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and it can be found in the Mechilta. Mechilta is the Medrash on Sefer Shmos. So again, we're culling information from Tanaitic literature, and again, that's going to seem to be a hint to us in terms of who actually wrote the, or who compiled, rather, the Haggadah, because it's clear that a lot of the text of the Haggadah is coming from the Zman HaMishnah, and we're going to talk about that.
And as far as we know, before the Haggadah was actually written, none of this was part of what was told over.
We don't know, clearly. There's nothing to know. We certainly know that Anshe Knesset HaGdola established this skeleton which I'm outlining for you now. What happened before the Anshe Knesset HaGdola, there's no way to know. Similar that we don't know what Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarif Korachon Leah, how did they daven? What did they daven? Did they daven? How many times did they daven? We don't know. Anshe Knesset HaGdola, in their wisdom, recognize that if we don't create a standardized text for Tfilah and for the Haggadah, it's going to be lost. So therefore, it has to have been written down and extrapolated on.
You say the Halach Ma'anya claim is post-Churban, it's first, second, first.
That's
second.
Also a discussion. It's very questionable when Halach Ma'anya is. There are those who, most people understand it's after Churban by Isrisha. Because that's immediately once we were called Galus Bavel, it's possibly when it took place during those 70 years. We've seen Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, but could be accepted Bayis Sheni also. But certainly, it doesn't sound like it's from the Mishnah specifically, because it's not a Mishnah, it's not a Gemara, and it's written in Aramaic.
Well, I thought you said it was written by one of the Bali Tosfos.
Yes, that's the indication. One of the suggestions of Bali Tosfos, which is much later, much, much later. Yeah, but again, that's one suggestion. There are other suggestions as well. The piece that says Yachol Meirosh Chodesh, where the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, has a sense that maybe you could start saying the Haggadah on Rosh Chodesh. Who says that you have to wait till Leil Yudalit? That's in the Mechilta also. Mechilta is the Medrash on Sefer Shmos. The Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. That's the Gemara, right? The Gemara says in the Seches Pesachim, the 10th parak, it's also Yushalmi. So again, you have a source, an early source. The many Midrashim that we quote, post the Avadim Hayinu, post the Manashtana, post Mitzchila Avodei Avodei Zarenseinu, Tzeilumad, Mabikesh Lavan Harami, Vikesh Lach Resakol, that is all a Sifri. The Sifri is the Midrash Halacha, and those are also referred to in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you have to start by saying Arami Ovid Avi, but the Mishnah doesn't tell you exactly what you have to say. The Mishnah is referring to a Medrash. The Medrash is also an early Tanaitic source, and again, the indication seems to be that we're dealing with Medrashim. The famous statement, which is the end of the Maggid, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shala Omer, Shlosha Dvar Malali, Yosadei Chavato, that's the Gemara. So we are quoting, that's a Mishnah, I apologize, that's a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Rav Gamliel is Tana, Kol Shlo Amar Shlo Shadram Alalu Yosei Bechavaso, so we have many, many texts from the Mishnah. Again, we don't know who wrote it, we don't know who compiled it yet, but we do know that a lot of the sources that are being put together are sources from Mishnah. Now, once we have this body, or this skeleton of the Haggadah, it's important to recognize how the next stage develops. The most prominent siddur that we discussed in our class was the siddur of Amram Gon. Amram Gon was the first printed siddur that existed. Of course, it wasn't printed in mass. It was the siddur that was the siddur that was used through much of Sephardic Jewry, of course, and in Ashkenazi Jewry, of course, it was being used as well very prominently. And in Rav Amram Gon Siddur, you will see a text of the Haggadah, and if you look in Rav Amram Gon Siddur, his Haggadah was very, very similar to ours. So commonly, if you compare most Haggadahs that exist contemporarily, or that from last 100, 200, 500 years ago, they very much mirror Rav Amram Gon Siddur. Rav Amram Gon lived around the year 800, one of a very well-known Gon, and only 100 years later was Rav Tzadi Gon. Tzadi Gon's Haggadah, I think I pointed out last week, looks drastically different than Rav Amram Gon's Siddur, and thus looks much different than our Siddur. So Rav Tzadi Gon's Siddur is significantly different, but our Haggadah is a Haggadah that's based upon Rav Amram Gon, and in the times of the Gon, and clearly there are other developments and other additions that were placed into the Haggadah, not in terms of the crucial text of the Maggid section, but as we'll discuss later, there were additions that were made as well. Then the Rambam and Abu Draham, who were two Sephardic Rishonim, the Rambam, of course, is familiar with, or Abu Draham was Reb David Abu Draham. He also has a Haggadah, and each of their Haggadahs are primarily discussing the Maggid section. There's not much, Kiddush is not listed in the Rambam Siddur. Safun, Barech, Halel, Mirza is not discussed in the Siddur in the text of the Rambam. But again, if you look at the Maggid section of our Haggadah and compare it to the Rambam's Haggadah or compare it to the Abu Draham's Haggadah, you will see a major similarity. It was at this time, in the times of the Gaonim and the Rishonim, that you see many Rishonim who are very, very strong that the entire Haggadah has to be recited. In the Sefer HaMoedim B'Halacha, that's Rabbi Zevin, of well-known fame, he quotes from the Rav Nutroi Gaon. Rav Nutroi Gaon is a well-known Gaon who wrote many Tshuvot. And in the Otzer HaGaonim of Rav Nutroi Gaon, he responds to somebody who asks, how much of the Haggadah do I have to say? Do I have to say everything? Can I skip pieces? Can I skip other parts? He says the following. Ein tzarech lomar shelo yasa. This is, if you're asking me whether you're Yosei or not Yosei, whether you say the body of the Haggadah, that's not the question. Ela kol mi she'osa kein minhu. Somebody who skips part of the Haggadah is considered to be a min. A min is like an apikores. Somebody who's skipping a piece of the Haggadah, that's terrible. The chaluk levu the kofer b'divrei chachamim uboze divrei mishnah v'talmud the chayavin kol akihilos lenadoso ulhavilo mikal yisrael kakasav uyigva mikal agola. So Rav Nutroi Gaon writes a very sharp response and is very, very clear that the Haggadah has to be said in totality. Now, clearly Rav Nutroi Gaon was concerned and nervous that people were not going to take the words of the Anshei Knesset Haggadah to heart, and if people start cutting and pasting and doing what they want to do, that's going to create friction and that's going to create a challenge, and as a result, Rav Nutroi Gaon made a very clear statement that that is what has to be said. 1,000 years later, the Shulchan Acharav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rashir Zalman of Liadi, he has a very similar statement, and he writes, Iker Nusach HaHaggadah, Shetiknu Chachamim, the text of the Haggadah, which the rabbis established, he's referring to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Choval HaKolhu, it is the requirement, the responsibility for everybody to recite. From where? Mitchila Savadim Hayinu and Harei Zem Meshubach. Ve'achakach Mitchila Ovdei Avodazari Avodazari Atzov Drush Parshas Arami Ovi Ovi. The Shulchan Aruch Harav also is very clear, like Rav Nutroi Gaon, that the text of the Haggadah is a real body of halachic literature, of rabbinic literature, in the same way we don't fool around with tefillah and the nusach ha-tefillah, berachot kriya shema, the same thing is true when it comes to the Haggadah, and he concludes by saying, shar kol nusach ha-Haggadah hu minhag, shenagu kol yisrael midorah tarishonim. The rest of the Haggadah is considered to be a minhag, has been established since the Zman HaRishon. Again, we don't tinker with Minhagim, but nonetheless, we do see that there is a serious nature to the establishment of a Haggadah. nonetheless, we can pin and point out who wrote different pieces of the Haggadah and where different sections of the Haggadah come from, but indeed, who is the one who compiled it, or can we figure out who indeed compiled it? A very important text, Gemara, that seems to hint to the time that the Haggadah was written is a Gemara in Psachim, and Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. It's a Gemara that every single person here is familiar with it because it's in our Haggadah. The Gemara quotes a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, two great Tanaim, and the question that they debate is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you have to be maschil bignus umisayim b'shvach. You have to begin the Haggadah with the trials and the tribulations and the challenges and the difficulties, and you have to conclude the Haggadah on a high, with the excitement, with the success, with the gula. So they ask a question. The Mishnah only tells me you have to start with the sad part and conclude with a happy ending. But where is the gnos and where is the shvach? What do we consider to be the sad, the deeply painful part of the Haggadah, and what do we consider to be the happy ending, the inspirational part? So there are two opinions, opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Rav says we start with Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah HaYavosein. If you look in your Haggadah, you could see that that is a piece of the Gemara, that's a piece of the Gemara that's put into the Haggadah. That's the opinion of Rav. Shmuel argues, and Shmuel has a different opinion. Shmuel says, Avadim Hayinu L'Parapim Mitzrayim. That's the beginning of the Haggadah. Now, what are they arguing about? Fundamentally, it's a very basic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav obviously has an opinion that Gnus means the trials and tribulations of time immemorial of Jewish history, dating back as far back as we can go. Our ancestors, our forefathers, were not just Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but it dates back to before that. Terach Avi Avraham. Terach's father was an idol worshiper, so we're going back to the beginning of Jewish history when things were very bleak and very, very poor and very difficult. Shmuel says, this is the night of the Seder. We're not going back to earlier than Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let's talk about this night. The beginning of the trials and tribulations that we're talking about is when? Avodim Hayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim. There, one can clearly intuit that Rav and Shmuel didn't have a text of the Haggadah in front of them, because they're arguing about what the beginning of the Haggadah is. Rav and Shmuel lived circa 230 CE, so from here you see that up until that point, there was no clear text of the Haggadah. That is indicative, and that's something you can glean from the fact that Rav and Shmuel are arguing as to what the Mishnah says. Naskel, Lignus, and Messiah, and Mishnah seems to indicate that there's no text up until the year 230 CE. There is indication that in the times of Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman is quoted throughout the Gemara here in Arvid Tzachem, and Rav Nachman lived, based upon Machlok, between Rashi and Tosfos, somewhere between 280 and 370 CE. Rav Nachman seems to have had a clear text of a Haggadah, because he refers to various pieces of Haggadah that we have, and it seems to be that Rav Nachman, around the year 280 to 370, had some semblance of a Haggadah. So we know Rav and Shmuel didn't have Haggadah, circa 230, and Rav Nachman did around 370 or 280 CE. But that is the latest time, potentially, when the Haggadah existed. The Abu Draham, who I referred to earlier, he understands that what happened based upon this Gemara is clearly that Rav and Shmuel didn't have a text. That was clear because they're arguing where do you start the Haggadah. The Abu Draham interestingly understands that this is not a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. He had a different nusach or a girsa, so he thinks it's a baye and rabba. He doesn't quote Rav and Shmuel. And the Abu Draham suggests that there was one Haggadah of rabba, there was one Haggadah of Abaye, and post Abaye and rabba, the Baal HaHaggadah, who we refer to, arranged and compiled the Haggadah by adding both of their opinions to the Haggadah. So why do we have the opinion of Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah HaYavosenu? Why do we have the opinion of Avodah Mayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim? We add them both. There's no halachic difference, essentially. The Abu Draham does note that it seems that we can prove from the Haggadah itself which opinion trumps the other. We know that any time there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Abaye and Rava, the halacha is like Rava, except for in a few cases, Yalkagan, but Rava always wins. So Rava was the opinion who says, Avadim Hayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim. How do we start the Haggadah? First, Avadim Hayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim, and only later do we say, Amitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Now, chronologically speaking, that's out of order. Really, our ancestors, Terach Avi Avraham, was well before Avadim Hayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim. So if we're going in chronological order, we should start and date ourselves back to pre-Avram days. the fact that we're starting from Avadim Hayinu, the part of the son, Abu Dram says that the Baal HaAvada ordained, and the Paskin that Rava is correct, and that's why we start Yitzchila Ovde Avoda Zara Hayu Avotein. By a little bit after Rav and Shmuel.
After.
Yes. That's totally fine. So I wanna try now to shed light on the possibility. We haven't pointed to an author yet. We're suggesting times. We know that it's not Rav and Shmuel. We know that Rav and Shmuel didn't have a text, and they were living in 230. So who's writing the Haggadah? Who compiled the Haggadah? Who arranged the Haggadah? Who put the Haggadah together? First suggestion I'd like to share with you is the opinion of the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel is one of the great authorities or great Mefarshei HaChumash you're all familiar with. Lived in the mid-1400s, early 1500s, a great Spanish commentary on the Chumash. The Abarbanel writes in his Haggadah, a very famous Haggadah called Zevach Pesach, and in his Haggadah, Zevach Pesach, I'm going to read part of it inside because it's important for what I would like to deal with. So the Abarbanel says as follows, and this is actually found in the middle of his Haggadah. Listen carefully because he really puts a lot of things together. He says the following. The Perek Avet Sachem, that means in the 10th chapter of the Bavli, of Masechet Pesachim, Zachu Chazal HaHaggadah. The rabbis in the Gemara, in Arvid Pesachim, defined and discussed the text of the Haggadah. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Asher Yaseh Oso Adam B'Layla Zeh. And they mentioned, the rabbis of the Talmud, mentioned the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that should be recounted and retold, Leil Tesvah. The Hegiu, what did they list? Parshas Vidur HaBikurim, right? That's the beginning of Parshas Kisaba, Arami Ovid Avi, Vayer Mitzrayimah. When we brought the first fruits, we tell the story of the Jewish people. Commotion is gar ad Rabbi Yehuda hayanosim hem simanim dastach adash reachot. So Rabbi Barbanel understands that in the Gemara you can find the text of the Haggadah starting with Arami Ovid Avi until Rabbi Yehuda gave simanim to the 10 makos dastach adash reachot. Then the Barbanel continues that following that in the Haggadah, you could take a look. The next point is Rabbi Gamliel kol shlo amr shlosh adam alalu lo yatzadei chavato, and then Hallel the bracha of Asher Goalanu, and then the second cup. That is the Seder that the Abarbanel says existed in the Gemara. And he makes the following point. The Gemara doesn't bring the drush of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. If you take a look in the Haggadah, there are three very important additions in the Haggadah that are found toward the end of the Magid section, and that's Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And each of them mention facts and stories and indications that are important pieces and parts of the Haggadah. Toward the end of the Magid section, you will see what it is that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili edit. We don't all have the same one, so we're not going to be able to call out a page number. But if you look toward the end of the Magid section, you'll see numerous midrashim. And those midrashim are cited by none other than Rabbi Akiva, the famous Rabbi Akiva, cited by Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, as well as cited by these three rabbis. Now, the Abarbanel points out that that is not found in his Haggadah, nor is it found in the Haggadah of the Rambam, nor is it found in any of the Haggadahs of the Gaonim. B'tofes Haggadah, he says, the Rambam, lo hevi shama davar midrashas Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. Chein atzer Rambam b'tofes Haggadah shezachar shah. Shlo zachar davar me'ele hadrashos Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. V'lo mimamar kama malas tovas. You know, kama malas tovas, ayenu. That's not found. It says the Abarbanel, not in the Gemara, and it's not found in the Rambam Haggadah. So where do those three things come from? Where does Rabbi Yossi's statement come from? Where does Rabbi Eliezer's statement come from? And where does Rabbi Akiva's statement from? And why does the Rambam not include that in his Haggadah? So he suggests the following. Ela, Ulai, says the Barbanel, Bachu Bekitzer, the Baal HaHaggadah, whoever the Baal HaHaggadah is, decided that the Magid section should be shorter. And it should leave out those three drushos of those rabbis. Shelo leharich bedrushos ha'ela b'makam shen shem hechreh. There's no reason to include those three because the Gemara doesn't bring those three. And if the Gemara doesn't quote Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Akiva, why bring it? Oh, a second reason suggests the Abarbanel, that those three rabbis included events that are related to Kriyas Yom Tov. Tama Malos Tovos is not specific to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Rambanel says that, therefore, the Nileal HaHagadah has to be tied specifically to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're not going to include the stories about Kriyas Yom Tov. Where then did they come from? Says the Ababinel, the Hasidim Ha'elu Asu Yisod V'ikul Kol Joshua said, Al Nisei Hayam, you'll notice that the latter part of Magid is all about Kriyas Yom Tov. Roa Chachamim B'Mechilta. The rabbis who wrote the Mechilta, the Medrash, Shehoyu HaMa'amarim Ha'elu Arabim Kidrashus in Yonim Yisrael. That means the rabbis, the Tanai, who found that the Midrashim that were written in the Mechilta were so moving and were so inspirational when it discussed Kriyas Yom Tov. Which discusses so many kindness and goodness of God. Says the Babinel that the rabbis who wrote the Mechilta, they included into the Haggadah those three opinions of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Rabbi Eliezer. So the Abarbanel's opinion is that the Mechilta, the Rabbanim, who wrote the Mechilta, they themselves authored the Haggadah. Now, of course, they didn't author what it says in the Mishnah, what it says in the Sifri, and what it says in the other places that we have, the texts outside of the Haggadah that are put into the Haggadah, but the suggestion of the Abarbanel is that the Haggadah is made up of Gemara, that are found in the 10th parak of Sachin, as well as from the Mechilta. That is the suggestion. The Babinel doesn't say it's one person. He says it's a group of Rabbanim, the rabbis of the Mechilta, the Tanaim. They composed, compiled, authored, and put together the text of the Haggadah that we are familiar with.
And the rabbis of the
Mechilta, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi not necessarily that that doesn't mean that they were the authors of the Mechilta, but it means that the Mechilta, which is the source of these citations, they decided to put it into the text of the Haggadah itself. So the Barbanel does help us on some level. Till now we know that it's Tanoim. Now the Barbanel also suggests that it's Tanoim who compiled it and put it together, but at least we understand the difference between which parts of the Haggadah are coming from where. Either it's coming from the Bavli, from the 10th Tarek of Mesechet Arvid Tzachim, and it's coming from the Mechilta. The text in the Bavli in Mesechet Tzachim doesn't touch on Kriyas Yom Tov at all. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Rabbi Lazar, where there's a long, expounded discussion about Kriyas Yom Tov, they added into the Haggadah those three statements itself. That is the opinion of the Barbanel.
I'm confused. You said that in the time of Rabbi Shmuel, there was no fixed Haggadah yet.
Yeah.
But the Mechilta was long before that.
Yes, of course. So Rabbi Shmuel already argued. And the Gemara says their argument was the beginning of the Haggadah.
Yes,
so they had something, but they argued about what that. Rav had his own Haggadah. Shmuel had his own Haggadah.
So Rav and Shmuel had something in front of them.
It seems that
each of which, and both Rav and Shmuel had this section included as well.
They had something. Yeah. Every person had their own text of their Haggadah. There was no official Haggadah that all Jewry was using. If you look in the Rambam Haggadah, right, which we brought last week, the Rambam Haggadah says this is the language of the Haggadah that all Jewry says from the time that he's writing Haggadah. So clearly in the times of the Rambam, Rambam died 800 plus years ago, there was some text. So that's clear, that we all know. The Rishonim had a Haggadah. Question is, when did the text that we all use today, when did that start? So at this point, all we know is that Rav and Shmuel, who were living in 230 CE, they didn't have the text. It didn't exist.
So then was the Mechilta people?
Mechilta were earlier. They were the times of the Mishnah.
So then what does Gentian say? So you said that Mechilta were the ones who put in these three.
But Rav and Shmuel...
We don't know then who wrote it yet.
It's clear at this point that there was...
So they're not saying that the group of Rabbanim and Mechilta were the authors.
So they certainly authored something, but it doesn't mean that everybody was using that same thing. There were different Rav and Shmuel who lived after the Mechilta. They each had their own beginning, right? The Gemara says. Rav says the beginning is Avadimayinu. Shmuel says the beginning is Mitzchil of the Avadimayinu. So they each had their own Haggadah. So students of Rav had one Haggadah. Students of Shmuel had a separate Haggadah. But not all Jews were doing the same thing.
That's the common part.
Right. We didn't even get up. We're only dealing right now with the Mitzvah D'oraisa, which is Magid. right? That's not good. We'll discuss time permitting.
But you also said that the Ramban Sagada doesn't include the
correct. That's correct. It doesn't include his degree, doesn't include Rabbi Eliezer, and doesn't include Rabbi Kiva. That whole
right.
section doesn't include
right. right. But so if the Mechilta, if the Rabbanim and Mechilta put that in, and it was already established at that time.
Why doesn't
the
Abarbanel makes that point that what the Rambam is going with is only what it says in the Bavli, right? The Bavli had its text of what we today call the Haggadah. The Mechilta had its part. The Mechilta, the Rabbanim of the Mechilta added that to the Haggadah, and the Rambam left that out. The Rambam left that out.
Did they all do this Matzamor thing?
Which that's Rabbi Gamliel. That's the Mishnah says. Rabbi Gamliel says, "Call me Shlomar Shlosha Drama Elu Lo Yasa Dechavaso." That's the Mishnah. That absolute, no question about it. Yeah.
And the four cups.
The Arba Kosos absolute. That's the Mishnah.
Right?
So if you follow the Ramban's Haggadah, you have a very yes. You have a much. You have a much shorter. Now, if you're unhappy or you have a hard time understanding the Abarbanel's approach, so you're in good company, because Menachem Kasher and his Torah Shlema also has numerous questions on the Abarbanel, and he has the most basic question, which is on the first thing that the Abarbanel says. The Abarbanel says that you can look in the text of the Haggadah found in the Bavli, in the 10th parak of Arbi Tzach, and you'll see everything there.
Not there.
You look, you're not going to find the Seder Haggadah there. That's the basic question that Rav Nachum Kasher has. He says he looked in how many manuscripts of the 10th parak? He looked in some, tens of manuscripts, he says, and it's not found. It's obvious that that's not an Haggadah. It doesn't say, Achas Eishes Kisviyah, 9 Kisviyah of Mesechet Tzachem, and he did like Rav Nachum Kasher in the last 50, 60, 70 years. Yeah, and he was a great researcher and scholar, and he had many manuscripts in front of him. Yeah, and he was unable to come up with it and find it. He also says, if you look in the Mechilta, you're not going to find the real Segulili, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Eliezer necessarily. He thinks it's really somewhere else, but the Barbanel's opinion is certainly not clear. So therefore, Rav Nachum Kasher has a very interesting suggestion. And he says the following. Do you know what happened? When the publishing press began, somebody who was a publisher decided to add the Haggadah to the end of Mesechet Tzachem. The Abarbanel got a hold of that. It was the beginning of the era of the publishing press in the early 1500s. And the Abarbanel assumed that was part of Mesechet Tzachem. That's the suggestion of Nachum Kasher. It's a very novel suggestion. It's an interesting idea. He says, Ulai Hosef Echad HaMa'atikim Es Nusach HaHaggadah the Sof Perakav Tzachem. One of the printers in the printing press decided to add the Haggadah, which is a nice addition. You're learning Mesechet Tzachem. You get to the 10th chapter all about the Seder. So I'll throw in the Haggadah also. You get an extra bonus. So he says,
nobody
cares. So that's his suggestion. Yeah, it's a novel suggestion, but his question is a very strong question. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that this text. So that's Rav Menachem Kasher's suggestion, and that's his idea. The greatest chiddush on this topic
also,
is the chiddush.
He also says that all this thought, I mean, I should understand the three rabbis over there, those guys, they're supposed to be in the Mesulta, and that's the right period for them. But all the Dayanu stuff, that's not in the Mesulta.
Okay, that's a question, 100%.
Okay.
One of the great chidushim on this topic, or one of the very, very novel approaches, till this point we suggested that most of the Haggadah is coming from Tanaitic literature. We're suggesting that it was compiled by the Rabbanim of the Tanaic period, but we can't figure out if it's one person or not. The Malbim has a chidush, and he attempts to prove who actually wrote the Haggadah, and he pins it to one individual. Now, the Malbim has a very famous Haggadah called the Haggadah to Malbim, but after much research that has taken place over the last hundreds of years, it's been proven pretty clearly that the Malbim Haggadah is actually not the Malbim. It's actually written by somebody, the Maskila Esan, and there's some confusion on the Shar Blas who exactly wrote it, and that's how it came out that it's the Malbim, but the Maskila Esan wrote the Haggadah of the Malbim, which is still colloquially called today, based upon the way that the Malbim used to write his parish on the Torah, which is by asking a lot of questions and giving one answer. The Malbim says the following chiddush, and this is his suggestion. The Malbim says the basic problem, or the basic point of departure is Rav and Shmuel, who we discussed, right? Rav and Shmuel lived 230 CE, and it's clear that Rav and Shmuel didn't have a Haggadah in front of them, because they argue what the beginning of the Haggadah is. The Malbim says, not so fast. I disagree. The Malbim says, it's true Rav and Shmuel argue what Gnut is, and what the beginning of the Haggadah is, and they each have their own opinion. Is it Avadim Hayinu? Is it Mitzchilo Devodazah Hayavoseinu? But they both had the same exact text in front of them. They just argued, what do you call Gnus? What's the beginning of the challenges? What's the beginning of the difficulties? But who's to say just because they argue what Gnus is, that they had two separate manuscripts of what the Haggadah is? They both use the same Haggadah. Students of Rav and Shmuel all had the same Haggadah in front of them. It was just a machlokas, two great rabbis. Rav and Shmuel, what do you call Gnus? The Mishnah doesn't tell us. So it was Rav and Shmuel's responsibility to uncover what Gnus is. Rav was of the opinion of Avadim Hayinu, and Shmuel was of the opinion Mikhila of the Avodah Zahir of the Seinah. But everybody had it in front of them. That means, according to the Malbim, and the Malbim writes this in his introduction to his Haggadah, it's a little essay called Maimar Yisod HaMusad, which is not actually printed in all the Haggadahs of the Maskil La'efon, of the Haggadah of the Malbim. But in this essay, he suggests that Rav and Shmuel absolutely, positively had the same exact Haggadah. So according to the Malbim, then Haggadah was certainly written no later than 230 CE. There was an absolute roof, gag, that it had to have been written by that point. So we know it couldn't have been written later than 230, and couldn't be written by anybody after Rav and Shmuel.
But then who put in this little story about, I mean, if we talk about one says it begins here and the other begins there, who put that in?
So that's the question. All the Malbim says so far is that Rav and Shmuel had the same exact together. But we're left with your question. Who compiled it? Who put it together? If it's not Rav and Shmuel, and it's not after Rav and Shmuel, because we all agree, according to the Malbim's presentation, that Rav and Shmuel had a Haggadah, who wrote a Haggadah? So that's Chiddush number one of the Malbim, is that it wasn't Rav and Shmuel, and they both had the same Haggadah. The next thing that the Malbim does is he takes a look, who's the last individual mentioned in the Haggadah? Who's the last Tana that's mentioned in the Haggadah? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Desach Adash Be'achad. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, who is Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Eloi, who lived in 160, the year 160 BCE, and Rabbi Yehuda was a Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That's Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Eloi, very famous.
Not BCE, CE.
BCE, 160 BCE.
Because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was 200 CE, right?
Different. No, it's around
there's a period there.
No, it's around 200.
What's that last name?
Rabbi Yehuda Eloi.
The Rebbe?
Eloi. Aleph Lamed Al Ayin Yud. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. And that is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. So the Malbim suggests, if we're talking around the year 160, right, that means that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, nobody could have written the Haggadah after him. That means nobody, if he's the last person quoted, if Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi is the last person quoted, that means nobody before him wrote the Haggadah. He's the last person mentioned. So it has to be somebody after Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, because he's being quoted. If he's being quoted, it couldn't be written by anybody before him. It has to be written by somebody right after him. If he lived in the year 160, so talking about somebody right after Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi suggests the Malbim, who actually wrote the Haggadah.
So now, so
here's his suggestion. The Malbim says, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi was a Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who authored the Mishnah. So the Malbim says it must be that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi compiled the Haggadah, and he's quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, who is the last sage mentioned in the Tanaim, and therefore he suggests that it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the author of the Mishnayot, who compiled all of the Mishnayot. It's very likely that he himself also compiled the text of the Haggadah. That is the suggestion of the Malbim. So now we're talking about the year 180 CE, and the Malbim suggestion is that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who compiled all the Mishnayot, also compiled the Haggadah. And he has two proofs for that. Number one, if you look at the Haggadah, all the text is primarily Mishnayanic text, and it's written like Mishnayot. So therefore, it's likely that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi himself also wrote the Haggadah. Furthermore, there are very few, or almost no Amoraim, who are found in the Gemara, who are found in the text of the Haggadah. So therefore, it's not an Amora who wrote it. It must be a Tana, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi seems to be the likely candidate, according to the Malbim, who actually authored the Haggadah. So one of the well-known suggestions, or more well-known suggestions, or the closest suggestion, if we're not putting it to a group of rabbis to put together the Haggadah, would be that the Haggadah was actually written by none other than Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi himself, the author of the Mishnah. That is the suggestion of the Malbim. Just to conclude, there clearly the discussion that we're having is essentially primarily focused around the Maggid session. You know, we didn't talk about anything before Maggid or after Maggid. We talked about Halach Ma'anya until the second cup. So the Nirtza session, the Piyutim that are all mentioned, the Chagaja, Echa Miodea, that's all Gaonic literature, and that's all was added after. If you look in the Siddur, the Haggadah of the Rambam, for example, or if you look in the Haggadah of many of the Rishonim, if you look in the Haggadah of Rav Amram Gaon, you're not going to find any of those. Who exactly wrote it? Which Gaonim? I'm not familiar. Yeah. All added in that those areas. Now, the crux of the Seder that we have, starting with Kadesh until Hallel, after benching, really can be found in the Gemara. If you look throughout the Gemara, you see there's Kadesh, there's four cups, there's Rachsa, there's Karpas, there's benching, there's Hallel. The only indication is that it was all put together was sometime immediately after the Gemara period. So therefore, what we have today as the 16 Siman and Kadesh, Rachas, Karpas, who actually did that? When did that come from, right? We only discussed the Seder. There is many strong indications, and Menachem Kasha in his Haggadah Torah Shleima says that he thinks it's either Rashi or Tosfos who actually have those simonim, right, that are very famous, that all of our children sing, Kadesh Ruchat. Many of the Gonim came up with their own mnemonic in terms of how to remember the Seder night is text. Imagine not having a Haggadah, not having a text. There is nothing they were using. They had to come up with a mnemonic to remember. You start with Kiddush, then there's Urchas, then there's Karpas, then there's Yachas. Hallel, Mirza, how are we going to remember all that together? So Rashi and Tosos, Talmidim of Rashi and Tosos, compiled, arranged, and put that all together in order that we have a very clear, definitive way to make sure that we hit all the steps of the Seder.
Do you think it's possible that the Haggadah was in the Master?
It was in the Siddur. It was in the Siddur, even better. Rav Amram Gaon, no. The first Haggadah, independent Haggadah that we have, was only printed in the 1500s. The Barbanel was probably one of the first Haggadahs, at least a Pelish that's in the Haggadah, after the year 1500. So up until that point, there was only a few pages. I showed you, if you look in the Rambam Haggadah, it's two pages. If you look in the Rishonim Haggadah, Rav Amram Gaon Haggadah, Siddur, I showed you last week, it's about 5 or 6 pages. So they didn't have an organized text that was being used outside of the Maggid. So what do you do after Maggid? So they knew the Gemara, and the Gemara says there has to be a third cup. The Gemara says there has to be a benching. The Gemara says you have to have eat afikomen.
Yeah.
So what the Gaonim did is they arranged this mnemonic to teach the people how are we going to be able to follow and fulfill all the mitzvot. You have to have Tzipriyat Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have to eat Masa. You have to say Hallel. You have to eat afikomen. You have to eat Moro. There's Karoset. So they created a mnemonic to remember, just to give us an appreciation of how easy it is for us today, how lucky we are. We have a Haggadah, we have everything written, it's translated. I mean, and this is one of the challenges that the Anshei Knesset of Haggadah had, this is the challenges that the author of the Shulchan Aruch had, and many of the codes of Jewish law that were written, because there was a concern that Torah is going to be forgotten. Could you imagine having to teach thousands upon thousands of people throughout lands, and to make sure that they're going to continue davening every day, learning every day, and saying all the things that have to be said? We have to keep things and put things to print. But the beauty, and certainly this Haggadah, more than almost any other piece of rabbinic literature that we have, is the primary piece, or the area which has been written about so much, and the amount of published Haggadahs that have been written, illuminated Haggadahs. And the Haggadah speaks to us as Jews in terms of the story of Matzchil Begnos Umisayim B'Shach, the fact that Jewish history repeats itself, that we go from poor times, bad times, to happy times and good times, the highs and the lows. We are the Jewish people compared to the moon. The moon waxes and the moon wanes. And the Haggadah speaks to us, how many stories we read about and we see that are depicted and articulated, that our parents and grandparents were eyewitness to, the stories of the Haggadah and the Seder that took place in the Holocaust. And we question, how could that be? How did that happen? Why did they do that? The answer is because the Haggadah speaks to us wherever we are. It speaks to us when we're in challenges. It speaks to us when we're in the bunkers, when we're in concentration camps, when we're in Gush Katif. And it speaks to us when we're living in Yerushalayim with the Gula. That is the story of the Haggadah. The story of the Haggadah is the story of Jewish history. It's the story of pain. It's the story of sadness. It's the story of Jewish blood being spilt. And it's the story of the matzahs that are eaten. It's the marah that makes us cry, and it's the matzahs that makes us sing. And the whole story of the Haggadah is really the story of Jewish history. And no surprise, really, to watch the development of the Haggadah, that pieces were added on, that we start really with Anshei Knesset Zagola, we see the Siddur of the Gonim and the Ravamim going to Reb Sadia going to the Rishonim, to the Gonim, and everything tells the story of who we are as a people, what we are as a people, and it's the most encouraging piece of work that we have, which is the reason that's been printed and reprinted, and commentaries have been written on it, and there's so many ways and eyes and looks at how to open up the Haggadah, because it is a piece of history of Jewish history. That's an our responsibility on the Aleph Beis to be able to transmit that to children, to grandchildren, to friends, to family, to students, for everybody to recognize that Jewish history is the greatest sense of emunah that we could have as a people. The fact that we were taken apart, that we were killed, that we were battered, that we were mutilated with the Crusades and Inquisitions, and the fact that we are still here today. That is the greatest proof that there's a God, that God watches over us, that God looks after us, and God cares about us, is the fact that throughout Jewish history, throughout all the sorrows and the challenges that we had, that we are still here to tell the story. So we sit down to the Seder, and Leil HaSeder, we read the Haggadah, we're really reading about our own lives and our own stories, and that's what the Haggadah says when you get to the end of it, that the Haggadah says that the goal, really, and the primary goal, is that we should feel we left Mitzrayim, right? That's our responsibility. Chayav Adam, a person is responsible and required to feel that I left Egypt, because after reading the story and living and feeling the pain, the suffering, and the highs of the Hallel, that is when we could get the sense that we ourselves were able to leave Mitzrayim. Mr. Shem, this year should be that year indeed that we say, L'shana Babi Shana Bria, that's how we finished the Haggadah.
In a way, I was very lucky. I don't know about you, but at my Seder for tens of years, as a child, my grandparents were there. And for me, my grandparents would talk about the Holocaust. That was, and the fact that they were there and to discuss and talk about their experiences, what happened to them, and that they were, their emunah shined, and that they built families, and their children and grandchildren are all shomrei Torah mitzvot. That was the, that's just, you don't have to, it's up through osmosis, you see, that unfortunately we're losing that generation. But, you know, the fact that we are battered and mutilated and put down, look, Mark Twain himself was not a fan of the Jewish people. You know, it was a very questionable, wasn't a person who felt strongly about the Jewish people, and he didn't understand it. He said, Rome and Babylonia, right, the famous quote from Harper's Journal, when he said, how is it possible the Israelites continue? And he leaves that question unanswered. The answer that we have is, Hashem is taking us on a journey that we don't understand. At the end of days, we'll figure it all out. We'll see how you get to the end of the maze. When you're in the maze, you don't always know how to get out of it. But at the end of the maze, we'll see retroactively how incredible the story is. The proof is, look today, look in Israel today, what's happening in Israel. There's no, how could it be that a people like ours, where 6 million of them died, that you look 50 years later that we have a country that is booming and that's successful? It's something extraordinary. What other nation can make such a claim? That is proof that we are the chosen people. I mean, how can anybody keep a blind eye to that? The success in so many...
A
lot of people, yeah, they don't. You're right. But we have to make sure that we see it and that we're able to pass that message along. It's something awesome. Who would imagine, right? We're in the Holocaust that, you know, so many years later we've been built up the way we have been. It's striking. Oh, my Bob used to say to all the Simchas that this is an Akaman Hitler. That was her line. I mean, it's unbelievable. How could it be? Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who are keeping our faith and keeping it is something extraordinary. something you said.
No. That's the data.